Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today's discussion, we are going to talk about something that I actually feel is really prominent among the masses, especially type A personalities. And I am very, very familiar with this because I have been riddled with this for a good, I don't know, I was trying to think about it before we recorded because I was trying to pinpoint like how long I've been in this very personality A type black and white thinking, which is what we're going to talk about. And I would say that I probably have been in it for 26-ish years. And what's actually really interesting about this is that I have had family members, particularly my mother, who would sit me down and have multiple conversations with me over my lifetime, like probably as young as, I don't know, 12 to definitely into my later teenage years and even my early adulthood, like 21. And obviously, she's my mother, and I disagreed with her a lot. And I didn't really know what she meant when she introduced black and white thinking to me. Even when I was 12, I mean, 12, it's obviously a lot harder to understand, but I didn't really understand what it all meant until I was willing to shift. And I've been able to be fortunate enough to point out the black and white thinking to Tiara. And as her and I have just explored black and white thinking through my personal journey, as well as her personal journey, we are learning the hindrances of black and white thinking. And we want to talk about it today.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting because as she's pointed it out to me, like I realized that when it comes to black and white thinking that I've done it all my life, like all of my life. And, you know, unfortunately, like in my background, everyone kind of does that same black and white thinking. So, you know, I didn't have the same benefit of having someone sit down with me and tell me that that's, you know, what I was doing and that that's a hindrance. It's just you sort of operate through life, especially in 3D, with this specific thinking, because when it comes to everything you're doing in life, whether it's your career or, you know, like education or just trying to subsist and exist, like for the most part, everything fits within the confines of black and white. Like it's either this or that. And you kind of get lulled into this sense where, oh, well, black and white thinking is the way of the world. And that's what I must do in order to make sense of my reality. And unfortunately, that couldn't be further from the truth. And for me, a lot of that had to come from like being pointed, having it pointed out to me. And then also, as I've tried to shift into a different way of being, I also recognized how much of a hindrance I was doing to myself, trying to put things that aren't black and white into black and white. And that's like a whole other layer of mental angst and difficulty.
Oh, absolutely. Tiara, can you explain a little bit about what black and white thinking is?
I mean, at the outset, it's essentially your way of trying to make sense of the world, but you do it in a way that's very confined, right? And ultimately, when you're having experiences, your brain, in order to make sense of it, will say, okay, this either means this or it means that. And that's it. It's this or that, either or, and there's nothing in between, right? Unfortunately, reality is so much more complex than that, and it's so much more nuanced. But for whatever reason, like many of us just sort of like default to this type of thinking because it's a very rational and logical way to exist. And we obviously live in a society that's very much logical and rational and analytical, right? So I think what ultimately ends up happening is we just sort of adopt this way of thinking because, hey, that's the way of the world. And if you want to shift into a different way of being, so for example, you know, I've been on a spiritual journey for a very long time. When you want to shift in a different direction and like a different way of existing, if you take the black and white thinking with you, you are going to run into so much struggle because the truth of the matter is that there are shades of gray. And many people don't recognize that. I didn't recognize that. And I think it's a big reason why so many things kept blowing up in my face when I was trying to, you know, do like these business endeavors and make all these decisions and plans for my life.
I would say that that is something that I've had to deeply get Tiara out of, especially because we do have a business together. And I would say that that's where a lot of my teachings that I got throughout my life, I was able to help Tiara with. So for me, black and white thinking is an all or nothing thinking. It's basically a cognitive distortion where individuals tend to see situations in extremes without acknowledging the shades of gray or middle ground. So Tiara did say this or that, but I want to give a few other examples where black and white thinking to me means good or bad, right or wrong, and there's absolutely no in between. And so when we put thoughts and situations into boxes like that, we are ultimately self-sabotaging and stunting our own growth because we are we're not allowing ourselves to think outside of those two boxes. And if you actually sit back a minute and if you actually think about this or that, right or wrong, good or bad, with no gray, think about all the opportunities that you are actually missing out on. And that is something that really had to help shift me because I burned so many bridges in my lifetime. I have not only burned bridges, but because of that, because I was such an extremist and because I had such strict black and white, good or bad, this or that, right or wrong. You know, it's funny now because I actually think about it because, I mean, basically my entire life, you know, I've been told you're only hurting yourself and you continue to shoot yourself in the foot. And burning bridges, these are connections that you may never get back in life. And unfortunately, it's like I had to make those decisions and I had to walk that path and in order for me to learn. And of course, do I have regrets? Yes, but I also recognize that I can't change the past. All I can do is learn from it and become a better person in the process. And it's because I made so many poor decisions that I've been able to reflect and try to make better choices, especially when it comes to, you know, building relationships with new people or trying to maintain relationships that are very meaningful to me because my inner circle is quite small. And I do that for various reasons, but unfortunately, I think a lot of people think this way. And I'm happy that we're able to have this discussion to be able to kind of highlight for our audience, like how damaging and what a hindrance and basically ultimately self-sabotaging, because my mother's right. The only person you're hurting at the end of the day is yourself. And I think that's something that we should all just take a moment and reflect on.
You know, for me, that whole black and white thinking was very, very prominent because I am such a perfectionist. And, you know, with that sense of perfectionism and needing to be perfect, you have a lot of control issues tied to that. And I beat myself up a lot over many, many things. And it's always been a struggle. It's always been something I've done. I've been very hyper self-critical. And a big part of that is because anything I did was either good or it was bad. It was either I succeeded or I was a failure. I gave myself no leeway. There was like no shades of gray or any movements for anything else, or I didn't allow any other consideration. And to me, it was my way of making sure that I continued to succeed and did well, which I know it sounds like a total contradiction, but like in my mind, I was like, well, I need to be this way with myself to succeed. Otherwise, I'll just fail. And so, you know, when I had some of these endeavors that I had, so I had another business that was like a womb healing business, and I struggled to get it off the ground for a really long time. Now, it was a side gig because I did also work full time. And obviously, I didn't really have the time to put effort into it like I probably should have. I just, you know, it was a side gig, and it was kind of like this little thing that meant a lot to me. But I had a lot of issues getting exposure, getting clients. And, you know, unfortunately, I didn't really have the money I needed to really do the promotions. And so a lot of it was like piecemeal stuff here and there and just like online social media stuff. But eventually I did have to reprioritize just because it was costing me money. It was a lot of effort and energy for little to no payoff. And so in my mind, I was just like, well, I guess I'm a failure. I'm a failure. This business failed. That's all there is to it. And it took, again, intervention from Allie and other divine beings for me to sit and recognize, hey, a big part of that was probably because I didn't promote. A big part of that was probably because I had energy tied up elsewhere. A big part of that is probably because I wasn't consistent. Like, none of that was ever considered once. It was just, you failed, therefore you are a failure. And that is so damaging to the psyche. It is very damaging to the psyche. And it can lead to you feeling dejected and demoralized. And I did get into a very deep state of demoralization because it wasn't just that. Like, I had other things that I had pursued and was trying to get off the ground, and I would always run into the same thing. And then I would do this vicious cycle where something would not go the way I was expecting. I would view it as a failure only, and then I would take that as a value judgment of my worthiness. And that's where it gets really dangerous. So I really am glad we're talking about this, because I really don't want people to get caught in these type of cycles. And even if you are caught in this cycle, I'm hoping that this conversation will help some of you guys recognize that it's really a limitation of the mind only. It doesn't mean you're not capable. It doesn't mean you can't do it. It's really just limitations that you do to yourself mentally. So I've had to recognize that and reflect on that and really shift my mind a little bit. And that has actually helped a lot. It has helped significantly.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, we were in channel a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about the state of the world, and obviously it's scary. I don't think anyone can deny that. And in the channeling session, which you can find on YouTube, we were basically trying to get advice or guidance on how to navigate today's world with all the corruption and the way that the economy is going and people's realities are changing very quickly and at mass, where people are afraid and there's a lot of fear. So the point of this of me sharing this is the entity that we channeled, it's Thoth or Thoth, however you like to pronounce it. He said that we are the architect of our own lives. And I think a lot of people forget that, because when we operate out of the ego, especially if you have black and white thinking, because I know most people do, it's really hard to be an architect of your own life, because you don't feel like you have very many choices. Because when you have black and white thinking, you think, okay, I only have two choices. It's either this or that. And it's just so limiting. And when you try to be an architect of your own life, you're not going to be able to manifest, or you're not going to be able to be an architect when your brain only works in two ways. You need to be able to think in a non-linear, one line, one path, closed-mindedness. This is why so many people are stuck. This is why so many people harbor so much fear, because the only way that, especially with like we've been programmed or taught to live, is this is your path. From the second that we're born, we are told this is your path to success. This is what success looks like. It's heavily based on material success. So we thrive. We're a very consumer-based society. And I know that we've talked about this before, so I'm not going to go really in depth with this, but I just want people to realize like the programming that has been brought into our lives. And so because we're taught basically to be black and white thinkers, like if you actually think about what we've learned in school, like Tiara and I were both part of the era where DARE, it's like drug resistance education. I don't remember the A part, but I know that the DRE was drug something, resistance education. And it's just like, drugs are bad for you. You don't do drugs. You know, it's like everything that we were taught was in such a black and white, good and bad, right and wrong. So it makes sense why so many of us are black and white thinkers. And in order for us to be an architect of our own lives, you really need to shift that mindset and start looking in the gray and working in the gray and viewing your life and the world very differently.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the black and white thinking when it comes to choices and decisions. And one of the things that really hit me when I was exploring my black and white thinking was when it comes to the choices and options. Because when you're a black and white thinker, like Allie's right, it's like you've got this choice or this choice. Maybe this choice too, if this choice doesn't work out. But you kind of limit your choices. And for me, it wasn't just that. It was also like, because I was so confined in the black and white thinking, and my mind was so confined, when there was a issue, I didn't really see solutions, because my limited thinking wouldn't let me see solutions outside of that black and white. And so that ends up being a whole other layer of limitations, because it's doing an additional disservice to yourself when there are solutions and options available, but now you can't see them. So black and white thinking can affect multiple aspects of your life in different ways. And so that's why it's so important that people, you know, start thinking about and recognizing their patterns of belief and the way they think and their decision making, because it's so destructive. And it's honestly, it's sad. It's really sad. And I'm personally of the belief that it can also contribute to states like anxiety and fear and maybe depression, depending on what's going on in your mind, because you don't see the options and opportunities that are there, even if they are.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important to talk about some of the consequences of black and white thinking. And some examples would be negative self-talk. You know, Tiara had mentioned demoralized, and it is demoralizing. The thought of going back to her story about her businesses that, you know, I know that she's tried at least three, I think. So going back to the story of her businesses, it's, you know, I either am going to hit my mark because she set, you know, she obviously set projections and goals. And she's like, if I don't hit all of these marks, then my business is a failure. And then you take that value judgment and you're like, okay, I'm a failure. I failed. Well, that's negative self-talk. A couple other things that I think are consequences of black and white thinking are emotional distress, like what Tiara just said about depression. And it also impairs people's ability to become problem solvers. Mm-hmm. And when you are unable to problem solve, problem solving is so crucial and important, especially nowadays, because if you cannot figure out how to survive, and we shouldn't be surviving as a society, we should be thriving, by the way. I recognize this, but we're in survival mode. And if we cannot figure out how to survive, well, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen? Like, more and more of us are just going to be pushed out onto the streets, or more of us are, or the drug use is going to go up, or suicide rates are going to go up. And unfortunately, that's a very real reality right now. And so problem solving is so crucial, and you can't problem solve with black and white thinking. It's just impossible. And I know it's impossible because I have pointed that out to Tiara on multiple occasions. I was just like, you are stuck in this black and white thinking, and what do you expect to achieve when you're stuck in that? And she was like, like, once she took a moment to think about it, she was like, well, obviously nothing, because my life hasn't gone anywhere. And the other thing that I do want to point out is that black and white thinking actually affects relationships, and it affects your everyday relationships with anyone, coworkers, family, romantic relationships, acquaintances, friendships. Because it's like, if you are friends with someone who is just so rigid in their thoughts and they're unwilling to have an open mind or hear you out, then it's really hard to connect with that person. And it's really hard to make meaningful connections. And if you have those people in your life who are so rigid in their black and white thinking, and you're more open-minded and you're trying to like connect with that person or form a friendship or relationship or whatever it might be, it's really, really hard because you're not going to feel connected to that person. And almost to the point, it may be a turnoff where you're just like, okay, I don't want anything to do with that person. And so as the black and white thinker, you don't know that other people are thinking that about you or viewing you in that way. And like the black and white thinker might be thinking like, oh, I have a new friend. Or if a friend falls off, and that black and white thinker is going to have absolutely no idea why. So it does seep into your relationship. It affects all of like every aspect of daily life.
I want to talk a little bit about the actual shades of gray, because for some of the endeavors that I had, once I again started to reflect on the black and white thinking, I went back and I was like, okay, well, what were the shades of gray here that I didn't even consider or think about? And I know for the womb healing business, like I had to reflect a lot on what it actually takes to get something like that going and get it off the ground. And realize that ultimately its failure wasn't an indication of my capability or worthiness. It was just because of something like not being able to promote it the way I should have and could have. Maybe not doing it properly. Maybe not taking advantage of other resources that could have helped me promote it the way it needed to be. The fact that I was also working part-time makes something like this very difficult. So I actually had to do that and go back and recognize that, yeah, you know what? There were absolutely shades of gray there. And had I been able to recognize that back then, maybe it could have been a different outcome. You know, never know. I even did that when it came to the JET program that I applied to, because I know we've talked about this in another episode where I applied to the Japanese exchange and teaching program. And because I wanted to go to Japan, I was like a big anime fan and I love the culture. I had actually started learning the language, which is a beautiful language, by the way, not hard to learn. And applied and got rejected. And in my mind, I was just like, oh, well, I guess that's that. That must mean that I'm not capable or worthy of participating. Time to move on. When what I should have probably considered is, hey, you know what? It looks like a lot of people have to apply more than once because that's just the nature of the program. It's competitive. I should apply again. Didn't even cross my mind. Like, it just didn't. And just like little things like that. And when you don't recognize that, it's easy to get into a state of low self-confidence, low self-worth, demoralization, depending on how like long you've been doing that to yourself, depression. So it just ends up being this really destructive self-perpetuating cycle, which is why it's so important that we catch that thinking and try to shift it and try to like see and look for the shades of gray, because it's possible for something to be both. It's possible for something to be and, as opposed to just this or that or either or.
Absolutely. And Tiara did mention something else earlier that I do want to draw attention to is the sense of control, because I know Tiara and I both struggled with serious control issues. My control issues, I think probably for most people's control issues are a trauma response.
Yeah.
So for me, just because I had such a tumultuous childhood and young adulthood, I developed very, very, very severe control issues. And control issues definitely is a huge contributor to black and white thinking. And because it's tied to that, because control is tied to black and white thinking, I mean, again, it's just that hindrance. And for me, I know, like, I have met people that need to control every aspect of their life. And this is why I know I mentioned this in a previous episode, like my last relationship where he really, like, we used to play this control game. And I'm so thankful for it because it really, really highlighted that control is just an illusion. And it took me a good half of the majority of my life to know that control is just an illusion. And I didn't even consider that I was self-sabotaging myself with all the control issues that I've had. But like, I've met people that need to control every aspect of their life. Like, control what they did with their time, control the people around them, control their household, control the schedule, control like what other people wear. Like, it's gotten, like, I've heard stories where it's like I've had friends that was just like, oh my God, like I was in a past relationship where I basically felt like a Barbie doll and they controlled what I wear. They critiqued what I wear, like my hair, even my nails. And I'm just like, wow, it's so wild. Like the sense of control and what it does to our mental well-being. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people, obviously, if you have control issues, how the hell are you going to know that it's affecting you and the others surrounding you in such a manner?
Yeah, control issues in relationships is, it's quite common, and it's quite huge. And I absolutely experienced that too. You know, and obviously I think that we kind of, back when I was in my marriage, both had control issues in different ways. And I think for both of us, it was a trauma response. And a lot of it was stuff that I obviously didn't recognize at the outset. But looking back, I could definitely see and recognize how we influenced each other to the point where I left that relationship and realized that I was carrying things that were his, that were his beliefs and his way of operating. And that was when I had to sit back and be like, oh my gosh, I was manipulated into carrying his stuff because of his efforts and attempt to control me, which is a thing. It's a thing that can happen in relationships. So, you know, I spent a lot of time when I stepped back from it, from that relationship, like healing and having to self-reflect on the ways that we influence each other. And like, in some ways took advantage of each other for our own benefits. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was a lot to sit with. Like I've been single for the better part of 2 years because I'm still sitting here just like, dang, how did this happen in this relationship? I mean, it was a 10-year relationship and I left it with all this baggage that wasn't mine. And I'm just like, how in the world does something like that happen? Well, it's because we exert control over other people, and it comes from a place that we don't consciously recognize or are aware of.
Yeah, I played a very huge component in that because I was the outsider looking in on that relationship. And I remember pointing out to Tiara that the big thing that I would say that he used was fear. And I would have conversations with her where she was just like, oh, well, he wouldn't want me to do that because, you know, his whole thing was, well, I don't want you doing that because it's not safe. And if I'm not with you, I can't keep you safe. And so, of course, it was just to Tiara, it was just like, oh, like, that's really loving and that's really sweet and that's really caring. And I would just be like, keep you safe from what? And Tiara would just be like, right. What do you mean? And I was just like, well, you're saying that you can't do these things because he's not with you because it's not safe. And I'm just like, he can't control. He can't be with you 24/7, meaning he can't keep you. He's not like some personal bodyguard. And I don't even know what that means. Keep you safe from what? Because, and then right. I highlighted examples. I was just like, Tiara, if you were driving a car, as people get in cars every single day, and if you get into a car accident, and if you're hurt in that car accident, does he have control over that? And she's like, no. And I was like, exactly. So how could he keep you safe from being in a car accident? It's just like he used fear as this form of control over Tiara. Mm. Like, you know, and for Tiara, that's why I call it emotional manipulation, because I was just like, Tiara, like, of course, like, you think he's my husband and he wants to keep me safe. And that's very loving and caring. And that's great. And I had to point it out as solely a pure emotional manipulation tactic.
Right. And, you know, the fear thing was really big. And he had this thing.
He made you afraid of the world. He made you afraid of everything.
Right. Because his whole thing was like, the world's not a safe place. You need to be able to protect yourself at all times. And like, he would point out examples of things happening, these one-off situations that would happen. And I'm like, okay, I get that. But I really don't want to exist in a state of fear, to the point where, you know, his philosophy about carrying weaponry, for example, was one I didn't like at all. And I pushed back on that. I did a couple times, but I ended up pushing back on that because it just didn't feel right to me. Like, I didn't want to feel like I always have to have weapons and I always need to be looking over my shoulder and I always need to be on the lookout. And I realized that that's before this. connection. That's not how I existed, but it was how he existed. And so just like things like that, that I recognize I took on just because I was in that connection for so long.
So these are all like all examples of, you know, what control does to us, how it really dictates and like how it basically takes over our entire lives, because fear, manipulation, black and white thinking, control issues, they're all hindrances from us being architects of our own lives. And it's something that I definitely struggled with. It's just, I'm very fortunate to have, you know, the parents that I did to be able to kind of sit me down over, you know, a few times over the course of my life and just try to introduce new things to me, things that I didn't fully understand. I wasn't ready to hear them, but they were seeds planted that I was able to reflect on when I was ready. When the time came and I was ready and I knew I needed to make changes, I go back to so many of those seeds that were planted in me and I was like, huh, I get it. I didn't get it before, but I get it now.
That's incredible. See how valuable planting seeds can be with someone? Especially when it's your kids. Like, that's huge.
Oh, yeah. I had a mom who was, I mean, a mom and a dad, both of them, but particularly my mother. I had parents who were not afraid to point out my flaws. I mean, as long as they were like structural criticism and if it was meant to help me, even though they triggered me at the time and I was like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Like, you guys don't even like me. Like that, like those were the some of the value judgments I was taking from that, was just like, okay, so they don't really like who I am as a person, and you know, like, why am I here if you guys think this way of me? And those were some of the value judgments that I took having those conversations, especially the teenage years. But once I got into my adult years, I was just like, it wasn't to insult me and it wasn't to put me down and it wasn't to judge me. It was actually to help me.
Right. Isn't it so crazy how our mind, when we're triggered, distorts the message, and like we hear a value judgment as opposed to what's being communicated. And that's what we mean when we say triggered. Like, I know we talk about being triggered all the time on this podcast, but essentially that's what we mean, is that you take a specific judgment from something that's stated, and the judgment you take is more of an indication of the wounding you're carrying than it is about what's being communicated. And I don't know, triggering gets lost on a lot of people, unfortunately.
Don't we know it?
Who wants to be triggered? No one wants to triggered.
No one. I've spent my entire life being freaking triggered. Like, my entire life I was triggered from, you know, the bullying from my kids at school, from the racism to, you know, these very difficult talks, because I didn't take structural criticism well. And I just took value judgments from that, saying, you know, thinking these horrible things about myself. And I felt like I was always being let down and put down, and I couldn't rely on anyone. And like, that's where my black and white thinking went. My black and white thinking went to, no one cares about me, and therefore I am worthless, and I don't even know why I'm here.
Yeah. And when you're young and you're a teenager, like, that's a lot to have to carry and deal with. Like, it really is. So, you know, I'm glad that as you've aged, you've been able to extract the wisdom out of those experiences. And I've been dealing with that as an adult. Mostly through the, you know, support of Allie and her spiritual team and, you know, the universe. But it feels, just like that. Like, you hear something as a trigger, you're being triggered, and you're just like, oh, so they're telling me that I'm worthless and that I'm wasting all their time and that I should just quit. Oh, okay. Well, maybe I will. Like, just like that kind of stuff. So, by the way, if you're on a spiritual journey, and you think you're going to get anywhere, and you're still carrying black and white thinking, you're going to have a really, really bad time. And the reason for that is because as you start looking at another way of existing and start trying to like raise your frequency and try to manifest and, you know, get to the higher states of consciousness, black and white thinking isn't a thing there. Like, it doesn't exist in the universe. It's purely a 3D, I don't know if it's an earth only earth-based thing. I don't quite know, but it is purely a 3D fear-based type of thinking. And it's a total illusion and psyop. So if you're wanting to raise your vibration and get to those higher states, you're going to have to look at your thinking and deconstruct the way you think and the boxes and limitations that exist within your thinking and resolve them. Otherwise, you're just going to keep repeating the same cycle over and over and over again.
Okay, and I'm not trying to blast Tiara or put Tiara on the spot, but this is exactly what we've been going through with her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is why I know something about it.
Do you want to share, do you mind sharing a little bit of your experiences with some examples?
So as I've entered this journey, we did another episode talking about like the dangers of some of the information that's out there for people who are on the spiritual path and they're looking for guidance and they're looking for wisdom and information. And we obviously recognize that if you're looking online, a lot of that stuff is not accurate. Actually, something like 90%+ of it is not accurate, which is a whole other episode. But I did embrace a lot of that stuff. And I did like a lot of the love and light type work that was very surface level. And for some reason, as I did that stuff, like I did feel better. And in my mind, I suppose, as it comes to the black and white stuff, was just like, okay, as I'm doing this work, I'm feeling better. That must mean that I'm ascending. Because if I'm not ascending, then I'm failing. And this isn't the path for me. So I think the way my mind did it was, okay, I'm either ascending and this is a path for me, or I'm not and this is not the path for me. And that was it. There was nothing in between at all. So you have to imagine if you're doing that work and you're feeling pretty good and love and light and rainbows and butterflies and incense and crystals and yay, I'm feeling balanced. When you get presented with actually, hey, you haven't ascended at all, and your mind does the black and white thing, I had to fight a lot with, oh, well, then I must be a failure and this must not be the path for me. And so a lot of what my ego did was try to protect me from that. And I got caught in like a lot of the delusional stuff. Like, well, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this and I don't get what you're talking about and I don't know what you mean. And like, there isn't, what else is there? Like, you don't make sense. And this was just in regards to some of the guidance I was getting from, you know, divine intervention and from Ali's support. So eventually I recognized that, hey, you know, there's some truth to this. There's obviously a lot more deeper stuff here. But if I go into that stuff, then that means that everything I did didn't matter. Because again, black and white thinking. So my mind went to, well, all the work I've done so far must not matter. Therefore, I must be wasting my time and everyone's time. Black and white thinking is exactly what I did. I pretty much applied black and white thinking to just about every aspect of my spiritual journey, which explains a lot of why I've had so many struggles the way I have. So I had to go back and forth. And I think one of the reasons why I got so demoralized is because of the value judgments I kept taking, thanks to the limited black and white thinking that I was actually carrying. So I had to kind of like sit back and reflect on what shadow work is and what it means. And I had to really get out of the black and white thinking, if I wanted to get out of this really dark, demoralized state that I was in, because as long as I was there, I was continuing to take very destructive and negative value judgments about myself that I wouldn't have had to take had I not had the black and white thinking. So eventually, once I started at least reflecting on some of the shades of gray, that's when I recognized, hey, this is a journey of ups and downs. No one is perfect. Like, you're not going to get it right every single time. You're going to have struggles. You're not going to feel good every single time. And that's the thing that drives me so crazy about this love and light is, like, we do this spiritual bypassing where we only want to feel good. We don't want to be able to feel the bad things. We don't want to deal with the inner child wounding or the shadows or the traumas. We just want to feel good all the time. We only want the love and light, you know, fluffy rainbow aspects of it. And it took a lot for me to recognize that this is a journey of duality, right? With the light, you've also got the dark. Like, you can't just have one without the other. And I had to really start reflecting on that and understanding that and shifting away from making value judgments about my progress on this path. Because as long as I continue to do that to myself, oh yeah, I was going to stay in a very, very dark, demoralized state. So I say this just to say that if you're on the spiritual path, it's really, really, really important that you deconstruct the black and white thinking, because it does not work on the spiritual path. It's just going to hinder you and keep you stuck and stagnant and repeating the same cycle over and over and over again. And I would really hate to see anyone on this path get demoralized by it or feel like it's just too hard or too difficult and not worth doing, because that couldn't be further from the truth. Like, one of the reasons why we are such supporters of this path is because as you continue to do it and release the baggage, you do feel lighter and you do feel more mental and emotional peace. And we want that for everyone. But it's really important that we're realistic about what is required of this journey and what it takes. Because again, as you carry the black and white thinking, it only makes things more difficult for yourself. That's literally all it does. It just makes things more difficult for you. And we don't want that for you guys.
We don't. And I would say that TR said something really interesting about the spiritual progress. I would say that this could also be applied to any 3D scenarios, especially in a career or starting a business. It's like, well, if I don't get that promotion, then I'm a failure. If I don't get that raise, then I'm a failure. And that can hinder even your 3D progress, not just, you know, the spiritual aspect of it. And that's why it's just so damaging. And it can be applied to all aspects across the board, 3D, 5D, spiritual journey, non-spiritual journey. It could be applied to literally anything. I know Tiara was, we're a spiritual podcast, so I know why Tiara was highlighting the spirituality piece of it, but I do think it's important to highlight that the black and white thinking will hinder you across the board as long as you continue along on the path of this or that, right or wrong, good or bad. There needs to be shades of gray. You need to be able to look at the world differently, look at other people's perspectives, walk a mile in other people's shoes, think about, why did that person do that to me? Or why did that person make those decisions? Because it's not all about us. In order for us to really connect to people, you have to be able to think about other people. You have to think about what that person's going through. You never know what that person's going through. You have no idea if that person's having a good day or a bad day. And you have no idea if what they're thinking. You have no idea. You just don't know what's going on in the other person's brain. And that's why it's really important for us to have compassion and empathy for others, because we just don't know what's going on in other people's lives. Even if you're best friends and you talk every day, there are still things that we don't know what's going on in their lives that could, you know, trigger them to project onto us or be rude to us or have a bad day towards us, because you just don't know what's going on with the other person. And so you have to be more open and you have to be able to hold that space. And I think that's really important when it comes to any journey, is to have compassion for others and have compassion for yourself. And that is something Tiara and I both needed to learn in our individual journeys, and something that has been heavily forgotten. And that's something that my spirit team was excellent about reminding me, was you need to have compassion for yourself. No one's perfect. Everyone's going to make mistakes. It's just when you make those mistakes, it's what you do when you make those mistakes that define you. What lessons you can learn from them. If you actually think back, how would you have done it differently? How are you going to be a better person moving forward? Because everyone's going to make mistakes. It's just how you move forward after those mistakes are made is what's going to help define you and shape you into a new person.
That's beautiful. And the self-compassion piece is huge, huge, huge. Like, because I've had the exact same struggle with any type of self-compassion. I didn't give myself any self-compassion. I was just like, again, black and white thinking, either this or that. Compassion? Why? What's that going to do for you? Is that going to help you achieve and succeed and attain? No, then why do I need it? Again, not recognizing the significance and importance of compassion beyond the shades of the black and white. But that's so, so huge. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we could all stand to show ourselves and each other a little bit more compassion.
Oh, we absolutely need to show each other more compassion, because unfortunately, we've just become too individualistic. We've become very isolated in our own thoughts. You know, I know people are trying to connect more. I know people are looking for relationships, and I know everyone is on social media basically complaining about what a mess dating is. And Tiara and I are not disagreeing that dating is a mess, but we also understand why dating is such a mess. I mean, that's a different podcast episode, and we have talked about it in previous episodes, but there's a lot going on amongst men and females. It's both. There's so much going on between the two, and it's just, there's a huge disconnect. We are disconnected from ourselves, and when we are disconnected from ourselves, because we don't have control over anybody else. We only have control of ourselves, our thoughts, our emotions. No one else is going to empower you to have that control. It's up to us to have that control over our own thoughts, our emotions, and work on ourselves, because no one's going to come in and save you and just say like, oh, it's all good. Like, wave a magic wand and guess what? All your trauma's gone and all your inner child wounding's gone, and you don't have to work on yourself. You can just, here's your ascension. No, no. It's a very distorted and delusional state of being. And it's just not going to happen. We have to work on ourselves. If you want real connection with other people, you need to work on yourself first.
Oh, I'm convinced a big reason why there's such a disconnect in dating is because so many aren't doing that.
Oh, I agree.
Amongst other reasons.
Of course. Of course. And that's what I'm saying. We have turned too much into the battle of the sexes, and we've turned in too much to every man for themselves, and there's too many cooks in the kitchen, and there's too much ego out there. And it's sad and it's unfortunate. There's either too much ego or there's too many people in a demoralized state. There's no balance in the collective amongst many, Now, there are people who have found balance, but amongst the majority, there's no balance. And what's happening on the political stage, particularly in the United States, is really, really showing the imbalance, because the right and the left are at war with each other.
It's so interesting how we have these different battles going on in different facets of, you know, society. You know, male versus female, Democrat versus Republican, like rich versus poor. It's just happening everywhere, and it's sad.
It is.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy we did this. I think that this was an excellent episode. I'm really proud of everything that we were able to share and talk about today. And I really hope it gives our listeners some perspective and something to think about.
Yes, yes. It was a pleasure. And, you know, I've been reflecting a lot on some of the things I've gone through. And so my goal is just hopefully that, you know, the things we share can be utilized by someone else who might be able to relate in some way, and at least be able to recognize similar patterns that they might be carrying, so that they can change and go in a different direction. Because, you know, ultimately, I think we all just want something better for ourselves. And we do want eventually to get to that place of mental and emotional peace. It's just going to take time and efforts and a little self-compassion too.
Absolutely. And I think that's the most important. And it's funny because I tell my clients or just even friends, where's your self-compassion for yourself? And they're just like, huh? And I was like, yeah, it's a huge component. It's a huge component that's missing. And I mean, I did it too. And luckily, I have a very beautiful spiritual guidance team that I'm extremely grateful for, who was just like, yeah, you're beating yourself up, and you beat yourself up a lot, and you need to have compassion. And it was through their teachings that, you know, and other seeds that have been planted in my lifetime, you know, that I finally have the maturity to process, is really, you know, the eye-opening experience of, yes, like, it's just, we have to real, it's just, it's really hard, because when we're perfectionists, it's really, really hard to accept our imperfections. And then the black and white thinking takes that imperfection of, we're not good people, or I have failed in some way, or I don't deserve to be loved. I don't deserve for people to care about me. And that's the huge dangers of black and white thinking, is because when we place those value judgments on ourselves, like where we feel unworthiness and unloved and undeserving, it brings us to a depressed and demoralized state. And without that compassion piece, we get lost in the sea, in all of that dark emotion.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So thank you everyone for tuning in. And just a reminder, our community is up on Patreon. Please come check us out. You know, we love interacting with you guys. And, you know, I hope that you guys, like, through our stories, Tiara and I have become a lot more open on this podcast. I know, like, in the first season, we kind of, you know, we talked more about really out there woo-woo stuff, which we love. But we also recognize that in order for you guys to connect to us, it is important that we also get a little bit more personal. So here we are.
Yes. Yes. And share that it's not always love and light either.
So thank you, everyone, and I hope everyone has a great week.
Yes, thanks, you guys.